Lord, in every detail how you minister your love to us. Lord, thank you for these locked steps, these feet that are in lockstep with the Spirit. Lord God, thank you. The singing, Lord God. Oh God, making a melody in our hearts to God. Thank you. Lord, the beauty is the name, and oh, to sing of the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you again of what it means to us. It's not just a name. It's the name. It's the only name. It's the name of our bridegroom. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Lord, for this wondrous, wondrous grace. And Lord, the wonderful plan, the plan that has brought many sons to glory. Thank you. Lord, we just abound in this hope and abound in peace and joy and believing your word. And your word is to us and your word is for us. Lord, let us take hope and rejoice. Today may be the day of the coming of your Son. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's begin today in Matthew chapter 22. What a precious day it always is in the Word of God. Matthew 22, it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son." Well, as most of you know, I have to tell you, I just experienced a most glorious time. A most glorious time, thank you, Lord. I witnessed my son take his wife. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. And I'll tell you, I'm just beginning to process just a little bit of the glory of what was witnessed to my heart in so many different levels in all of the things that had transpired. But really, maybe the most glorious in some respects of what was ministered to my heart, at least thus far, is what our Father waits to see. And matter of fact, of what all of creation is groaning to see. If you want to know about that, read Romans 8. It says that all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And those sons are the mature sons of God. Once again, we get to the word huios, which I pray that if you don't know what the Greek word huios means, it would be a joy to your heart. Because when we see that word in the Word of God, it's speaking of the mature sons of God, the ones that have grown up fully. The ones that have grown up and even transformed from glory to glory. Amazing to think. Yes, the warrior, if you will, and this strength. But yet the beauty of the lover of his son, the bride. Once again, what our wonderful Father is waiting to see. What all of creation is groaning to see. The moment that his son will take his wife. Amen. That is what it's all about. You know, they sang part of that tonight too. It was so great. I was so thankful to God that he is waiting to take the throne as God. Jesus is waiting to take the throne as God until he has his wife. I recently said that to a couple, and they know the scriptures pretty well, and they know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And with scripturally speaking, him seated at the right hand of God, we know then that the millennium and the things of the millennium have not gone forth. And he's waiting there for one reason, because there is a lady, his wife, his readied wife, that will complete him to take the throne as God. Thank you, Lord. Now, from the very beginning of the Word of God, and from the very beginning, how wonderful. Say in Genesis chapter 2, we're introduced to the, not just a concept, but the reality of the father bringing the wife. The father bringing the wife to the first man, Adam. And he did.
He brought Eve to Adam, and Adam being the first man. And then you go all the way to Revelation chapter 9, and then we 19, excuse me, and then we see the Father witnessing the wedding feast where, praise God, he has brought the wife to the last Adam, his son Jesus. And then all between Genesis 22 and Revelation 19, can you imagine? It really is all about a wedding. It really is. If you know Paul's gospel, everything really is about a wedding. It's about a wedding of a wife for his son. This is the plan of the ages, that Jesus Christ will have his wife from the very beginning. Now, whether it was witnessed to us, and we rejoice in many scriptures in the word of God, but how about so brilliantly plain in Genesis 24, where Abraham, it says so sweetly, sent his servant to find the wife for his son Isaac. How wonderful that ministering is. We see the plan of God in 60-some short scriptures, praise be to God, laid out fully for us, that his son will have a wife from his people, and she will be taken out from his people and brought forth to him, hallelujah, to where she will be received by the bridegroom. How wonderful. But then you even have in John 4:23. I love this. It's the Father's heartfelt calling to us. He says, the hour is now. Isn't that wonderful? The hour is now. It's not for a future time. It's not for some, time that you can put off. The time is now in John 4:23. The Father is seeking the true worshiper who worships his Son in spirit and in truth. And make no doubt about that. The Father said all glory and all praise is in the name of his Son. So if there's any worship to be, it's to his Son. He wants his Son magnified. Hallelujah. The purpose is all in his beautiful only begotten Son. I'm thankful for the Godhead. I'm thankful for my Father. But I'm thankful for my Father because he gave me Jesus. Because it was through my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he brought me and caused me to be the son of my Father, my Abba Father, my Dad, God the Father. Isn't that marvelous? And he says, now listen, if there be any praise, it's going to be in his name. Yes. So how wonderful that here we've got the call of the Father. I want you to be the true worshiper. I want you to be that one that worships my Son in spirit and in truth. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's why the Holy Ghost was going to be given. He hadn't been given at that time and poured forth, praise the Lord, at Pentecost, that it was going to fully come forth in that manner that he has been with you, the Holy Ghost, and shall be in you. And this was specifically for, was for his son to have a wife. That there would be the true worship there, this sincere heart that would draw nigh in fervent love to kiss the Lamb of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, I saw some fervent love and drawing nigh to kiss a couple weeks ago at my son's wedding. Oh, it was mighty. It was marvelous. See, at my son's wedding, I witnessed in such wondrous type and shadow and glorious metaphor the most joyful moment to a father's heart, the day when his son will have his wife. The day when the true worshiper draws nigh in fervent love for all to see. And kiss the bridegroom. Oh my, what a day that will be. You kind of read about that in Genesis 24. Because as Rebecca's coming forth and she's ridden on that camel, the Holy Ghost, the servant, had taken her all that way. Those stinky camels. But she told the family, I've got to go now. And she said, I will go. And she left all the family behind because she had the calling upon her life to go to the bridegroom. And she went. And there was nothing that was going to delay that sweet woman. And when she finally got there, she saw him running through the field. I believe some days I honestly see this raven-haired one running through the field. Hallelujah. And oh, there's been some mighty hills we've gone through. Amen. But I think that's where the Bible tells us our help comes from, the hills. Amen. So don't be afraid of them hills. You just go in there because you know who's leading you through. But how about this? Could this be the very last hill to overcome? Till I see my precious Lord. Amen. Oh my. But I'll tell you what. There my son. He stood before me with his wife. And the guests, it was so wonderful. They were all assembled. Yeah, it was quite a sight to see. The beauty of that day, I have to tell you, was unmatched to any day that I had ever known. There was a peace in my heart, brothers and sisters. My son was receiving his helpmate. My son was receiving one that divinely and purely loved him, that I'm so thankful would add to the usefulness of her husband. But even though all that was there, there was one thing that stood out above everything else, and that was her. Oh, yes. I mean, there wasn't any doubt about that. There was with him his glory. She stood out because he was with his glory. And oh, what glory I saw. I'm thankful to the Lord, again, for his grace that gives us this testimony. If we would just open our eyes to see the Lord witnessing to us. And the heights and the depths and the length and the breadth of what he's witnessing to us. It's amazing. But there, like I said, the witness of this sweet woman. That virtually, I believe, a great portion of her life, but especially the past few years, she wanted that wedding day. Let me tell you something. There wasn't anything else that she had her sights on but that wedding day. And oh my, how God brought that forth. And thanking the Lord, the paramount thing on her heart was to have her husband. I pray to God that is the one thing for us. I pray to God that that is the all-consuming thing truly for us, brothers and sisters. With what we have been given in the proposal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh Lord Jesus, don't let me miss that. Amen. With that proposal and that love that has come through the scriptures that is so mighty and so true. That cannot be denied. Lord, help me. Help my hesitation. Help my unbelief. Help every distraction. Help every excuse. Help me to draw with truly those that precious rib portion body that will, he will have her hand in marriage. Help me, Lord, to not forsake that. Help me, Lord, to have a desire if by any means I might attain to that resurrection, that I might attain to that first trumpet rapture in the air of when the bride and the bridegroom will be joined. I'm telling you, I really get graced with weddings. I'm so thankful to have the privilege to see. And I mean, it's in the groom too. But I'll tell you, I've seen brides run down this altar. There wasn't time for pictures. If you were going to take a picture, there was a twinkling of an eye and she was there. So I don't even know if Jess got any pictures of her walking down. But I've seen such wondrous type and shadow. But I have to do tell you, there was something that I shared with the Father in the joy that he'll have when he will see his son take his wife. And here was one of the joys. She became my daughter that day. Yeah. She became my daughter. And oh, what God sees for his son in that daughter that she is to him. In Psalm chapter 45, verse 13, it says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold." Now let me tell you something. I can witness the focus of that celebration was the glory of my son, which was his wife. And she was set forth for all to see that day. Because what was happening truly is he was bringing forth, making known to all that he loved her. That she was his first love, and she and he was her first love. As it says about that beautiful Philadelphia church in Revelation 3, verse 9, of what the Lord will do for his bride, Jesus will do for his wonderful wife. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Amen. But see, for that moment to be for you with him, you need to receive the truth of that love for you right now. See, in that waiting that my sweet daughter, now, they call them daughter-in-laws, but she's my daughter. She waited, but she didn't wait doubting. She didn't wait fearful. She was just waiting expecting. It will be. Because of the love of her lover for her. She rested in his love. She believed in his love. She believed in that proposal. She prepared everything. I mean everything. You send out cards and dates and receptions, and you have all of the feasts prepared, and all of these things are waiting because you know. Do you know? Has the wife made herself ready? Is she completely absorbed and showered in that grace and mercy of his ministering? Do you see how real this is? Do you see how you can't doubt this? God gave this to us to see. Type, shadow, metaphor, call it what you want. This is what it is. From the very beginning of the Word of God, I was going to bring the wife to the first man, Adam. And I'm going to bring the wife to the last Adam. Now, think of you. And you have all of the ministering there in between. Be like my sweet daughter. Prepare. Prepare it. Don't doubt his love. You prepare for it. You know his love. Amen? Why doubt the love of God for you? Amen? When he has told you, "I want to marry you," and you know that message, why doubt that love for you? "I love you, honey. Nothing's stopping it. Just prepare it. Go. Be adorned. Put on all of the garments. Let the Holy Ghost prepare you. The months of myrrh and the months of frankincense. Be still, my child, my love, my daughter, my spouse." Now, then how happy were the wedding guests? Oh my. And I mean every one of them. I am telling you, I never almost seen like anything like this before. It was so sweet to see as I was standing up there. We had all the groomsmen on this side and all of the bridesmaids on this side. And here she came down and It was so sweet. The Father had given her, her Father had given her to my son. So much there, just unbelievable. So I looked over here at the ladies, and they were so beautiful and all joyous and smiling. I looked over here at the groomsmen. Every single one of them is crying. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. They were all teared up and, you know, and trying to fight back them tears, those strong, manly men, you know. But see, there was a joy. Their friend Roderick had taken a wife, and I rejoiced, and the friends of the bridegroom rejoice. As it says in John 3:29, I love this. John the Baptist is speaking this in spirit. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So see, the bridegroom's got the bride. But the friend, and we can say the friends of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And that was the bridegroom's voice. Do you get that? This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Why? Because the he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Do you see that he's waiting for his full joy too? Do you see why those groomsmen in type were crying for their buddy? Because he has his wife. His joy is full. Oh. It can't get any more perfect, but it does. Because it wasn't over. Oh my. Then the joy, I'll tell you what, it broke forth even more. After she was presented as his wife. This event, it was beautiful. It had a seating area where the banqueting feast was. And it was on a beautiful lawn. But up on that lawn, there were these, an elevated portion, and these beautiful steps came down. And here on the horizon, coming over those steps, were the bride and the bridegroom. But I'm telling you, you almost couldn't see the bridegroom because all you could see was the glory of the bride. But the beautiful thing about her glory, as it says in the Word of God, is she descends from heaven having the glory of God. And her light, like a stone most precious, like that of the jasper. Well, who's the jasper? It's him. And I'm telling you, as she just walked down those steps, and oh my goodness, she came down. And oh my, the Lamb's wife one day will descend from heaven. And you know she's going to be clothed with such glory. As a matter of fact, it says that her dress is the very righteousness of the saints. I think that's another sermon to talk about the dress, because I haven't processed that yet. But I'm going to close with the feast today. And oh, what a wonderful feast. Oh, yes. And then at the feast, the dancing. Oh, it was mighty. There was so much joy that abounded that you could not help but get up and dance. Some of them that were there, no. But the joy and the splendor and the liberty, the joy unspeakable. Now, I know there might be just a one or a two that might be getting a little bit uptight right now, me testifying of this joyful dancing that Pastor even not participated, but my goodness, I think I led because of the joy. The joy. I want to read you about what happens at God's weddings. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31. And this happens to be a very special wedding. This is a wedding of the Father's very own. Because, you know, the Father's going to have a bride too. Yes. Yeah, he's got a wife. She's unfaithful right now, but she's going to be returned. And her name is Israel. And he's going to have his wife too. And she's going to be made faithful again. But I love, here it is, when there that union comes. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 13. It says, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. Did you hear that? The virgin shall rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I saw that. For I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. I saw for a moment, no matter whatever anybody and everybody was thinking in their lives, for about a 3-hour period of time, nobody thought of anything but the joy of that couple that just got married. And that joy spilled over. And that joy poured over. But this is going to be a joy that pours over, brothers and sisters, that'll never end. And I rejoice because you know what? By the grace of God, what's meant for us, our wedding day is right on the wing. It's so near. It's so, so near. The joy of all the ages to come. And as it says in Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, what it will be to be there. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And just rejoice, Lord, in the thanksgiving to you. And again, your wonderful word, your wonderful son, the lover of our soul. And Lord, we do rejoice. How could a bride in waiting not be happy? How could she not be giddy? How could she not hear these scriptures that are alive and living in those vessels that believe Paul's gospel? How could they not live a life of joy unspeakable and full of glory? Oh God, just turn the sorrow into joy. Lord, let us see these trials and these great pains, Lord, that many are going through. Matter of fact, all of us, because it said that there'd be a despairing of our own lives, that there is a crushing for that anointing oil to pour forth. But Lord, let us be willing. God, let us understand that it wasn't just given to believe, but it was given to partake in those sufferings together with you. The wife suffers jointly together with you, so she can be glorified together with you. And what a privilege and an honor it is, Jesus, to be called to that suffering. That the suffering that we would call these things strange. But yet we know, Lord God, you've already told us that these trials and temptations in our lives, the things that we would like, as Paul said, Lord, let this thorn be removed. Oh, no. Oh, no. As Paul said, oh, it's my rejoicing. Oh, God, it's my glory. For when I am weak, you are strong. When I am in that trial and testing, when I am tempted beyond what I think I can bear, oh, it is the power of Christ that rests upon me. And I know what that power is. It's Holy Ghost loving power. It's power that gets my eyes off the trial. And oh, gets it to the door and gets me to the door to open that door because my bridegroom is at the door. Oh, Lord, you have brought us this way. Oh, God, it is a way of suffering, but there is rejoicing all the way. Lord, help us to lift each other's hands up. Oh, these feeble knees, Lord God, strengthen us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're at the finish line. It's right now. It's right before us. Because he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.